So, hello guys. It's good to be here. It's not often that a pastor of a crutch standing for one in bed. But I suppose everything is possible. I just want us quickly just to stand. I'm just so aware that we obviously you're changing the services around and you're doing stuff for the sake of exams, but I just want us to stand just to honor God, just to honor God in His place, even though we have worship after the sermon, after the message, all of that. It's still an almighty God. And we can actually worship Him without the music, without all the other stuff. I'm just going to pray for us. Father God, we just stand in honor of You, Lord. We worship You in this place, Father. Thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit, Lord. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You that You are here, God. Thank You, Lord, for a privilege to come together, Lord, in Your presence and to hear from You. And just to know, Lord, that You are busy working in our hearts. You are busy. You brought us here together tonight. You planned this meeting. You're just in control. And we honor You and we worship You, God. And thank You, Lord, for everyone that's here, Lord. Each one that's bringing different gifts, different personality. Just each one made in Your image. As we come, I see, Lord, You just rejoice, Lord, when Your people come together. And You just smile now. And you just see open hearts, and this is good. And thank You for tonight, Lord. Thank You that we don't have to rely on a system or a pattern or program or first do something in a specific way to create some atmosphere or nothing like that. We can come together anytime and know that You are here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can sit. Yeah, the Century City Carols is actually, we're going to combine with everybody in the region is coming together just to help Century City. It's basically their event. It says there's Century Show for Century City, and the event actually starts 6:30. So that's where there's a family fun hour. So if you want to go to the touch farm, that's when you must be there to do all of that. And then Show for Band is coming. Milani from Stellenbosch is organizing the event. So it's quite nice. We really want to lift up the quality of the event, bring in different people, different groups, and then have a storyline running through the evening, with lots of sing-along, and it's really, we trust God to have opportunity where we can invite friends, invite people, everybody coming together, and experience something of God, right there, and it's in Central Park. So Century City, they say it's their event, they do all the marketing for us, they pay for the sound and the lights and everything. We just need to pitch. So we've got Shofar Band, we showed them all our movie clips, and they were happy, so that's good. And with Kiro, we have church in Kiro, primary school. We trust that we will get the junior and the senior choirs there. So it should be a very nice evening. So I want to, if you can, just come. I quickly want to share tonight when I just hear that Reina is not going to be here and everything and Ronnebosch. I just had a sense of something that I must just chat about the Holy Spirit, just one of the Trinity. You will see the who am I sign. I trust it's there. I don't like to look back. So, and just the who am I, who is God? We all understand God is the one that He loves us, Jesus saves, the Holy Spirit convicts us. They're all working together. And we have life, and we have relationship with the Holy Spirit, and it's good. But I'm so aware now that I have children and Lee, you guys will know the wives, they gather. They like to go to the shops, they gather things, and they come home, and the guys, we buy gadgets, okay? We don't hunt anymore. There's always stuff, there's always something that's, it just distracts us. But I see it now these days, there's so many voices talking to us, there's so many people, and it's Facebook and WhatsApp and there's blue ticks and there's so many things that wants your attention. Amen. You just put on your phone next to your bed at night and then and then it goes on and you're just so active. And we don't have a time where we just sit down and just allow God to minister to us. Or maybe we do have those times, but it's suddenly we must fight for those times. It's suddenly that there's so many things fighting for our attention. And I just the last couple of weeks, just trying to slow down things, putting boundaries down, where's the phone, where's the laptop. Because I used to be a programmer before I started being a pastor. And I always wanted a laptop. I thought programmer, laptop, it just goes together. And my boss will always ask me, do you really want to work at home? I said, no. So I got my desktop. It was super duper. Everything was there and all the multiple screens and everything. It was great, but you get home and it's just finished. Work is at work. You don't have to think about it anymore. It's different when you're a pastor. Work is just all over. But it's good. And in that, I realize I still need to find time to just to connect to God. I must still switch off, still make time. Because life is just busy and it's running and there's so many things happening. And a couple of weeks ago, what we did, we just decided in small group just to think about our salvation, just about when we got saved. And everything that happened, I was clueless before then. I didn't have vision, didn't know what I'm going to study, didn't know where I'm going. And then God just saved me. It was just amazing, just realizing that me with all my sin, all my baggage, everything, that God has made a plan for me. He's paid the price for my sins. And I realized that I get casual with these things. But it's something that we must celebrate. We must take every opportunity to celebrate it, to share it, wherever we can. And just to keep it fresh, what God has done for us. And even coming here tonight, I never bring my laptop to church. I don't like it. But I just sense that I must pack in my laptop, so I just pack it in the back. And I took my iPad, and now the iPad doesn't want to work. So struggling with my iPad, struggle, and I realized, okay, maybe God just gave me a warning of what is going to happen. Because you know, now you're on your way and stuff doesn't want to work and you must sync your sermon and suddenly Lee's asking, so when are you going to go? I said, no, it's close. It's only 15 minutes. Lots of time. And then Gustav ran in there, and Daddy, I just want to play on the iPad. I said, no, you can't play now. I'm going. And there's so many things happening. I just realized right in there, God just gave me a warning of iPad's not going to work. And I just find, okay, I must bring the laptop. But why I'm saying that is, it's just all the time the Holy Spirit is talking to us, ministering to us. Right here. While we're sitting, he's talking to us. God is partnering with us. And I'm going to touch on it a little bit later. I just quickly want to read us a scripture of Luke, from Luke 12. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made a judge or arbitrator over you? Who made me? And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And that's what we do. We like to sort out stuff. I love, something is broken, you buy a new one, you replace, you fix it, and you go on. My good friend Potty was there in Somerset West. He had a rattle in his cubbyhole, and he bought a new car. So he just sorted out. And that's what we do. Okay, like this man, he'll say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And then that was, his life was taken. And all this stuff, everything that he gathered, everything that he did, he planned, he gathered, he did so many things, it was just taken away, and God called him a fool. I'm not saying we must not do that. I'm just saying we must keep perspective on things. Just the last week, I was so challenged of just getting into almost just relaxing, of not staying alert in the spirit. Because once we're alert, there's so many opportunities that's passing us by, so many things that's happening where God is showing, talking to us, ministering to us. So let's just continue. So I had this picture of many times in scripture, let me just read Psalm 23, where God prepared a table for us. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And tonight, I just had that picture of God is preparing a table for each one of us, a table of life, where here comes God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they're at the table, and we're having conversation. Everything just stops. You're sitting at the table. One of my biggest breakthroughs, just in my walk of the Lord, was actually one night in worship. I just had a vision of sitting at a table with Jesus, and all that I heard is just, you're okay. That was the only words. You're okay. And after that worship session, I just stood up and my life changed. Because when you hear that specific word from the Lord, it will change your life. And we're all searching for things. We try to plan our lives and work out our things and everything is good and everything is ordered. But right there at the table of life, God comes and he just pauses a little bit. And he says, my son, my daughter, I want to have conversation. I want to have life with you. At our table at home, we eat together 5 o'clock or 5:30. And then Gustav, Samuel, and Lucy, then we'll ask, okay, what's your best part of the day? And when we were still potty training Lucy, she would say, Daddy, poo, toilet, sweetie. That's her best part. She pooed in the toilet, not in a nappy. And each one, but that was so beautiful, where they just bring, each one is just sharing. They just say something, and Samuel, after he said the third or the fourth time, thank you, God, for iPad. We realize, okay, they don't play on iPad anymore. iPad is now a privilege. Once a week, they can lose that privilege. But I realize that is what God wants to do. He wants to dine with us at this table of life. And it is for me to sit with my family at the table, that's where I find out what's going on in their hearts. That's where I can just talk to them. We can just have heart-to-heart conversations. And that's where we can talk about if we must look after the discipline in the home, or we've been to church and you say, okay, remember the 5 rules at church? And say, okay, not allowed to run and this and this, and make noise and they climb on the chairs and they've got a few rules and they get points and they can play on iPad. It works very well. So we work through the rules and they say, oh, I didn't do that, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. But that's life. And I just realized that, especially with, we all understand with Jesus, where God comes and we hear it all the time, God loves us, that unconditional love. And obviously we must have always meditate on that and just get a revelation of the love of God and Jesus that saves. But then there's the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes we don't, the Holy Spirit is one that we almost put in a box. You get baptized with the Holy Spirit. You say, okay, I've got all these gifts. I can operate in the gifts and now we're okay. Now I'm gonna go again. So I've received now a lot of things and I'm fine and I can just run off. And it's almost like running a marathon. Okay, no, it's not really, it's not the right example. But something like you get to the water point and you just stay there because the water is so great and everything is so amazing. You drink your Coke and your Powerade and you fill up with water and everything. But it's actually just a temporary stop. You're actually supposed to continue with the race. You're actually supposed to go on. And sometimes we just stop there. And I think we're so occupied with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and which gifts I'm flowing in and I just want another gift and I just want more and this. And then it just gets confusing. Where there's so much more. But the moment we fit it into a box, the moment we made it, okay, this is what I want now, this is what I desire, this is going to work for me, this is the part that I can figure out, then we're just restricting so much of God. Because He's just amazing, all-powerful God. And tonight, even if you just think about that, that's good. If you go away and you just think, there's so much more. So much more to the Holy Spirit. I was just reminded where Jesus said, I just thought about the disciples walking with Jesus. So He was always there. They can ask Him all the questions. They can talk to Him, learn from Him. And then Jesus said, I'm going away and the Holy Spirit will come to you. And it's even better than that. It's better for you that I go away. Because now the Holy Spirit is with us, living inside of us. And I certainly don't tap into that all the time. There's times where I'm focused, okay, trust God for divine appointments, I'm going to walk with the Lord. And other times, I just want to do my own thing. I just want to go on. And when we look at just the early church, how the Holy Spirit just played a massive big part of everything. How the Spirit of God was just so involved in everything that happened. I'm jumping around in the slides a bit, but I don't look back, so don't worry what's going on there. It is, they just said, this is some examples in Acts 5:3, it says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then it continues, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? We are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51 says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 11, the Spirit told me to go with them. The Holy Spirit was so involved with everything that happened. It was just all over. Acts 13, being sent out by the Holy Spirit. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Acts 15. Do you see that there's a lot of involvement, a lot of working with the Holy Spirit, interacting. And that's what I want to get to. There's so much more. They had a big dependence on the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to... If we remove the Holy Spirit from the church, we will basically have a social club. Or we will just have a religious organization. I don't know. Then we just come here and it's good and we, I don't know if there's coffee. We drink coffee and we go. There's no life. But we're very fortunate we can come here and God is alive and He's showing us He's real, He's present. He's speaking to us. Right now He's ministering to us. And I just put a few things on the slide. Without the Holy Spirit, no vision, no joy, no peace, no freedom. I just like what John Bevere say in one of his books about the Holy Spirit. It is wherever the Spirit is Lord, that's where there's freedom. Because there are places where there's no freedom. There are dark places in this world. When you walk in there, you just realize there's no freedom here. It's death. But where the Spirit is welcomed as supreme in authority, that's where you will find freedom and justice for all. And where the Spirit is Lord, that's where we find freedom. Where we submit under the Holy Spirit. I told you how I just lacked vision, how I just confused. I still remember standing on Stellenbosch Mountain, just shouting out to the Lord. And so I was so frustrated with life. Standing there and shouted, say, Lord, rock my life. In those words, but I don't know why I said that. I won't say it now. I said, Lord, rock my life. Because I want to see things happen. I don't want to read the Bible anymore. And I don't see this stuff happening. And a week later, I started Shofar Bible School. So that really helped. That's an advert for Bible School. But a lot of things just happened, and I'm so thankful to God that God has answered that prayer. That things are starting to happen. And I just realized that, there's just a whole life out there. I still remember I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I ran to my best, not my best friend, but a good friend. And he said, no, man, what are you talking about? I was so excited, and he just looking at me and said, no, Yaku, I don't know about this. I said, okay, I'll find someone else that's excited. So go to another friend, and that guy's, yes, man, it's great, and it's amazing, and we just had a great time, and it was just great. The same thing happened when I asked Lee, Oscar out. I was supposed to be at a dance group prayer meeting with, I don't know if you know, Marisa Esser, Franz Esser's wife. They used to be in Stellenbosch. Yes, he was so strict. I told her, you won't believe what happened last night. I asked this girl out. She said, yes, I think she's going to be my wife. And we walked into the night, and I got in bed, really. And it was just amazing. And she said, that's not a good excuse. So I was late for the prayer meeting. She said, Yaku, that's not good. So I went back to the same guy that I told about the Holy Spirit baptism. So my friend Tacy. And he rejoiced together. But just at the table of life, we often make the mistake to try to understand the work and the power of the Holy Spirit without first trying to understand that the Holy Spirit is also a person and is also God. So he's also God, he's also a person. So we can quench the Holy Spirit. And there's just so much more. He's a divine person. There's actually feelings. There's part of the Trinity. It's God. And this is the one that It's just actually just nuggets that I'm giving you, because I trust that we will just go into a deeper relationship with God, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. Because I don't want us to get to a place where we get satisfied with the few gifts or the few things that I operate in. And then we think, okay, I've got this sorted out. Sorry. I've got this little part sorted out, and now I want to move on. And I almost want to try to live my life in my way again. Because that's what I see that I'm doing. The moment stuff is wrong and you need stuff to change and to something to happen, then you go and I pray and I trust God and I fast and I do a lot of things until it's less chaos, and then I can go on again. And then, oh, this now I really need God. And so I go and I trust the Lord for breakthroughs and everything, and it's almost sorted out and now I can go on again. But there's just so much more. Where we just partner. Where we just partner with the Lord. A.W. Tozer, he says, the Holy Spirit is not enthusiasm, he's a person. Put it down in capital letters that the Holy Spirit is not only a being having another mode of existence, but he is himself a person with all the qualities and powers of personality. He's not a matter, but he is substance. The Holy Spirit has will and intelligence, feeling, knowledge, sympathy, ability to laugh and see and think and hear and speak, and desire the same as any person has. The Holy Spirit. We often claim it's just the power of God. Just this mystical power that I wish I can have some of it, and whenever it's necessary, I would like to operate in this power, and then that's okay. And it's almost that we can, it's so easy to get into spiritual pride. Once something of the Holy Spirit is working through my life, I've got this little bit sorted out and now I feel better about myself. I wrote here, someone who sees God's Spirit as an influence or just a supreme power will constantly say, I want more of the Spirit. I want more of this. But on the contrary, someone who sees him as a wonderful person will say, how can I give more of myself to him? If it's only power, you just want more power. I just want more of it to flow through my life. And actually, how much more can I give? What can I bring? I just want to read you another quote of Tozer. All that the Son is... It's just speaking about the Holy Spirit is God. All that the Son is the Holy Spirit. All that the Father is, the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit is in His church. What we will find Him to be like, He will be exactly like Jesus. You've read your New Testament. You know what Jesus is like, and the Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus. Jesus was God. The Spirit is God. The Father is like the Son. You can know what Jesus is like by knowing what the Father is like. You can know what the Spirit is like by knowing what Jesus is like. But basically, it's the Trinity. It's God. And even Jesus was dependent. He was working. It's more he was working with the Holy Spirit. We so often see there's many examples of accounts where they made reference to the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It was a constant partnership with the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Another helper. Those words there, you're just talking about the personal counselor, one that is with us, helping us, but But it's also talking about parakletos, the Greek, is one that's very close. And the second part of that word is to do with our calling, to beckon or to call. It's speaking about destiny, calling, one that's coming alongside us to help us that we can step into our destiny, into our calling. That's the helper. And this morning I was sharing with the church that just the same thing, where we want to be happy. We want things, that's our default. We default to trying to be happy, trying to make things work out. God wants us to be holy. And often the two clash. Where my being happy is not so holy. So, and when we're holy, it's not necessarily, we might still be very happy. But just that there's such a battle for our mind. What I'm currently doing, I'm just meditating on the Word, just in a new way, just allowing the Word to minister to us, to get that biblical worldview. Essentially, Jesus has said that the Holy Spirit is the one that's alongside us. He's the one walking with us. He gives us direction, instruction, counsel. I'm so thankful to just for God's guidance. So many testimonies in my life, warnings, things that I still remember. Just when I wrote the kanselier, that extra exam. If you didn't pass everything. Okay, so I went to fetch my points on my bicycle, and on my way to the faculty, I just suddenly sensed a fear coming over me, and I just sense God is warning me of something that's going to happen. I'm not sure what it is. So I just started praying in tongues as I'm driving. I was just praying in tongues until I got there, and I asked the secretary. I said, okay, I'm just here to get my points. She said, okay, what's your name? So my name, she checked. She said, oh, sorry, you didn't make it. So that's the one subject I needed for my degree. But now the Holy Spirit warned me that something really bad is going to happen. And I was prayed up when I got there. So I said, okay, can I just speak to the professor? She said, the professor doesn't want to talk to the students. I said, just give me a moment. I'll be quick. So I got to the professor and just asked my paper, and he said I can sit there in the corner and go through the paper and see if he missed any points. And as I was going through, other students came in, but they were very angry with the professor that they didn't pass. And he said, go away, get out of my office, get away, I don't want to talk to you guys. And so I'm just hiding in the corner. So I must just disappear. I think this is a divine moment here. And I'm going through my paper, and I just found point after point, things that he missed. And he missed so many things. And I thought, okay, I've got now a lot of stuff. So I told him, okay, can we just quickly go through the paper? And he went through and he said, okay, yeah, this. And he said, what about this? Where is this in the textbook? I said, page 312. You'll find it at the bottom. So luckily I was right. So he said, okay, yeah, you've got enough. Congratulations, you've got your degree. And I walked out of there and as if nothing happened. He just changed the point. He said, okay, no worries. I'll update the points. And for me, it was massive. It was life-changing. I was busy with internship at Shofar, and I didn't want to write another exam in my life. I just want my degree that I can go on. But I had the warning of the Holy Spirit that day. And that's what's happening. It's not always that we can just get rid of the difficulty. We will still have to go through the storm, but the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And I just had it's almost like I don't know if someone told me or it was just a revelation, but if he's our comforter, then we will probably get into uncomfortable situations. That we actually need the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Else, if it's just everything is just lekker, then you're not going to need His comfort. So it's good. It's a little bit scary. But it's there. It's available. And sadly, the Holy Spirit is just is often in church, he's a very ignored person of the Trinity. Where people will be happy with God, they think they figure out God, they think they figure out Jesus. Holy Spirit, they don't understand everything, so they just leave it. And they just go on with church. This is probably the show I had many just in my family alone. It's about Holy Spirit and different things. But I'm just saying, this is life. It's not a doctrines and stuff. This is life. But this is the kind of things we will have to discuss and have to talk and allow our testimonies to help people to understand and to grasp something of God, really. And how He wants to partner with us. I just quickly want to just highlight the thing about the partnership with the Holy Spirit. Just the fellowship. Where there's fellowship, a fellow worker, just coming alongside. It's more you coming alongside God, because He's running in front. God is preparing the way. And I've seen it, especially at Pastor Summer, just chatting to some of the pastors, because there's a lot of things that you always pray, you want to know what God is doing, that we can just come alongside. It's not nice when you do something and God is somewhere else. It's very difficult then. Jeez. And you find it out too late. And then to turn that whole ship, it's not a nice thing. But when we run just with God, when we just in step with the Holy Spirit, it's as if everything we do, the meetings we want to have, the conversation we want to have, it's as if God is always one step ahead. You think, I was talking to Philip Gerber in Schaeffer-Paketburg. He's got a business there, furniture business. Okay, and he had guidance to open a shop in Malmesbury in the Pick and Pay Center, very expensive. And he said he just felt God is telling him he must do it. And the business part or the investor said, no, we can't do that. Because if it doesn't come off, business is over. So he said, okay, I really believe God is going to do it. So if you don't want to come along, I will buy you out. So the guy said, okay, fine, you can buy me out. So in the same time, his house in Muriesburg, that doesn't want to sell for I don't know how long, suddenly the house is sold. There's money, he's buying out his investor. He moved into the Pick and Pay Center, and his business overnight just doubled. And now he's selling mattresses, and he's selling all kinds of stuff. And he's employing people, and he's... The other day, now he must buy a bucky to do deliveries, and it's crazy. He told me, Yaku, it's just God did something overnight. It's incredible. But he took that step of faith. He had an inkling, a guidance of what God wants to do, where he wants to go, and he was willing to make that bold. To make a bold step. But that's just one of the examples that I heard last while. If somebody wants a meeting with the mayor of Stellenbosch and then he gets a mail the next week to say, can you meet with the mayor of Stellenbosch? And things are just all falling in place. And that's for me, that is when we just walk in partnership, where we're partnering with God, where things are just a little bit easier. It's just happening. I just want us, yeah, I'm almost done. Just want us to think about this, because we always have so many plans in our head, so many ideas. I see loopholes all the time. I can't help it. That's just, some of them, it's really there, it's obvious, but I'm Christian, so I can't take all the loopholes, but it's there. And just ideas, you know, say, Lee, I'm thinking about this and this. He said, no, man, that's nonsense. I said, I've got this idea. He said, nonsense. So if I get an idea past Lee, it's usually a good one, because it's very hard to get it past it. Because I had a brilliant idea taking caravans to holiday places and everything. She didn't even listen to the rest. I just, one sentence, she said, yeah, I could forget it. This, it's nonsense. And the Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but only the Lord's counsel that will stand. And tonight, I just want us to, as we ponder about the Holy Spirit, and just, I can't give you all the, actually this is just this message almost. It says I want us just to think about if we're not putting the Holy Spirit in a box, if we're not also trying to figure out a little bit a part of it, and if we maybe become just relaxed with that little bit of knowledge that we have, and now we're running with that part of the revelation, and it's great, but it can be much better, and there's so much more. And this is not a motivational speech. A Muslim told me once, she loves listening to pastors. It's so motivational. So I said, no, man. That's some nonsense. This is not a motivational mess. This is life. This is life. So the times we'll be going in, I just think it's all, there's so many things, it's just going to get more black and white. So a lot of things in government, what we see, the issues of the day, the current day, the issues coming out in government, stuff that's going on, it's black and white, and we will have, as Christians, we will have to take a stand. As Christians, we will have to do something. But if we partner with the Holy Spirit, we will know what to do. As we just spend time with the Holy Spirit, He will guide us. He will show us the way. And we talk about that womb that I put up in the beginning. The other side is, I can only be who God created me to be if I partner with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm not going to just come to my own revelation and plans and everything. And that is really, there's really a surrender necessary. So Lord, I just surrender to You. I give over to You. And that's why I pray, I trust for tonight, as we just going to worship, that we come and we come to the Lord, but we also surrender our plans and our ideas and everything. We just surrender it. We put it on the table and say, Lord, let's dine. You prepare the table for me in the midst of my enemies. So now let's sit at the table. Let's allow God to speak to us. Let's allow Him to minister to us. That we can talk, so we can talk straight. That's what I'm currently doing. We took over another church in Century City. It's now just more than a year. And 2 months ago, I realized that we never did membership. Never discussed membership, or it was always that church, they existed, and shofar came in, and at a certain stage, said, okay, now we're a shofar. And I said, okay, we're shofar, and we went on. But now that we're talking about membership and covenant and all those things, suddenly there's a lot of stuff just coming up. It's like, and suddenly, it's like there's so many things coming out. And I say, Lord, if there's 10 left, 10, it's almost like Gideon, I must just let everybody drink water and see what's going to happen. But the moment when there's unity of heart, then God's blessing is there. And then we move any direction. And that's the same thing. The moment when we just surrender to God and we say, Lord, show me your way. Show me what you've got in store for me. Where we surrender and we say, Lord, I'm moving, but you can direct. Then we're just going to see new things going to happen. And that excites me. Okay, so that's enough for tonight. We're gonna continue with worship. So I guess the worship team is gonna come forward. I'll just speak it. So even when we worship, just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, that we don't get into a thing where we're just going through the motions. Because God is alive. He's working. He's highlighted certain things in your heart tonight. Maybe you want to pray with us afterwards. That's great. But it's important that you respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That we do something. That we respond to what God is doing. And that's all that. Then I know, then there's life. There's conversation, there's movement. And that's how we grow. Amen. Thank you, Father. We just thank you tonight, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord. I just sense that we must, as we worship, just in a new way, just surrender to the Lord. To say to this, you can maybe just stretch out your hands and just say, Lord, I just wanna repent of putting you in a box, Lord. Just repent of getting almost too relaxing around you, Lord, too casual around you. Yes, Father, tonight, Lord, we just stretch out our hands to you, Lord. We admit, Lord, that you are the Almighty God. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. And Lord, we come, Lord, we repent of putting you in a box. We repent, Lord, Holy Spirit, we repent of quenching you. Of almost stopping, Lord, halfway. Getting baptized in your Holy Spirit, receiving your Holy Spirit in our lives and then almost just stopping there. We repent, Father, of spiritual arrogance. We just bring it before you, Lord, at the table. I just believe, just see yourself sitting at the table with God, sitting at that family table, and God is just exchanging gifts with you. He's giving you new things. He's giving you new promises for your situation. He's giving you new words. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for a river in the desert. Thank you, Lord, that you come, Lord, and you make a way where there seems to be no way. As we surrender before you, God. And some of us, Lord, we got stuck at the water table. It was so nice at the table, Lord. We just drank and we just took in and we just wanted to stay there. But there's life waiting for us. And tonight, Lord, we just say, Lord, we're partnering with you in a new way. Renew our minds, Lord. Show us your way, Lord, not our way. It's not us, Lord, asking you to help us. But we say, Lord, show us your way. We want to follow you. We don't want to run, Lord, if you're not going in the same direction. but the sense that for some of us it's really difficult where you are just to see, just to hear what God is doing. You almost feel like you're a little bit stuck. And God just want to, I just trust God for a breakthrough, a specific breakthrough in your life, that you will just hear God's voice again in a new way. In your quiet time, when you spend time with the Lord, you will hear His voice and you will know this is God speaking to me, no one else. Between all the other voices, you will be sure this is God speaking to me. Thank you, Lord, that you made each one of us in your image, Lord. We are your people. You are the one that created us. You formed our days, Lord, before we were even born. Thank you, Lord, that the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. And I pray, Lord, for a release in those people's, just in their hearts, Lord, or in their lives, just to hear your voice, Lord. A release to know this is God speaking to me. And thank you, Lord, for a unique way. Thank you, Lord, that we will know when you speak. Because you're committed towards our lives. It's, Lord, and some of us, we've really messed up. But thank you for a second chance. Thank you for second chances, Lord. I just believe that it's also something that you really, the moment you come into God's presence, you come into the light, and the light reveals darkness. It's a natural thing. It's going to happen. As we come into God's presence, we're going to be aware of stuff in our lives. God is not intimidated by those stuff. He died for that stuff. He died for our sins. So you can come, you can enter in. Enter in. Spend time with the Lord. Sit at the table. Don't be intimidated by your past. Don't be intimidated by the stuff, the issues. God is not going to condemn us. He's giving us life. No, I thank you for life tonight, Lord. At the same, as we going to sing another song. If you just want to respond, you just want a breakthrough in your life, you just want to hear God's voice in a new way, then I want to invite you to come to the front, and I just want to pray with you for a new, almost like a release, or that you will hear this is God speaking to me, or anything related to that. You're welcome to come. And even when we pray, then we just trust God for a word for you. Trust God for a specific thing.